This is XN Anderson. Welcome to the Principal Podcast today. Today, I am thrilled to have Debbie Krolaitis with us. She is the Vice President of Moms for America. She is also the host of the Moms for America podcast and is one of the leading crusaders here to help moms, to help children. Thank you, Debbie, for being on the podcast today.
Oh, I'm so glad to join you. I mean, dads that are doing this, moms that are doing this, this is we're working together to save our kids and to save our country, clearly.
That's great. Tell us a little bit more about your mission. What tell us about it.
Well, I have been with Moms for America 8 years. I came, found this organization in 2017 when the women's movement, right? They were having those women marches all across the country, and they were not speaking for me as a conservative mom. And somehow they thought that they were. And I found Moms for America actually online. Kimberly Fletcher, who is the founder and president. Moms for America has been around for 21 years, by the way. And she was going to have a Moms March in response to the Women's March. So I kind of got connected with her, helped producing some of her events, and went on to be the vice president of Moms for America. And what's so amazing about this organization, and to your point on what's the mission, it's reclaiming our culture for truth, family, freedom, and the Constitution. That is our mission. And then we have three pillars, and it's empowering moms, promoting liberty, and raising patriots. So that's what we're on the goals. That's our goals to do all across this great country from coast to coast.
Such an important mission too, you know, and I'm so glad that you can state it so clearly and so succinctly. You know, when we talk about our nation, a lot of times some people think, you know, if we just have the right program in place or the right politician, but the truth is our country is made up of families. And if the family is breaking down, if there's real problems in the family, the real strength of a nation is in a family.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you, Moms for America, and you and your mission truly recognize that that's where our strength comes from. If we don't have strong families, other stuff isn't gonna help us.
Exactly.
What are your thoughts?
I mean,
what do you?
Absolutely, and I've watched some of your great videos too on your website, and we're really in lockstep here. It is the family unit where it all begins. This is where we teach. This is where we train. This is where we love. This is where we pray. We're raising the next generation. We're teaching and training. Our marriages have to be strong. Our faith has to be strong. Our children need to be molded and taught and loved. And this is where it all happens, right? The greatest work any of our moms will ever do, or our dads, I always just refer to the dads as well, is within our four walls. In our home is where all of it happens. It's the reality of truth and love and hope. It's everything. It's, you know, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. We are, we're world changer. We're helping make the world a better place by raising great faith-filled children that love God, love family, love country. And that's where it all begins. And none of us do it perfect. And that doesn't mean that there's not 100 challenges, but that is the goal of all of us as moms and dads.
Appreciate that. There's a feeling that's coming around kind of in circles now that, in fact, you've even seen some laws in some states where the basic underlying assumption of the law is that the state owns your children, and that we as parents are just kind of the caretakers.
Yeah.
And to me, I mean, tell us what your thoughts are on that.
I mean, how crazy is that? But we heard President Joe Biden say that when the kids are at school, they're the school's property, basically. So moms and dads have risen up against that. They are not a product or of the government. They are our children. And how the government or how institutions or how schools have decided that now they know better than mom and dad. No one knows our child better than us, our children better than us. And so it has been a movement. And I guess, you know, this isn't something new. They've been trying to break down the family unit. They took the moms out of the home, said, unless you're working. Feminists said, unless you're working, you're just really not a productive female. Then they broke down the family unit, and they caused strife, division. And now the government and the schools have all said, listen, we'll raise them for you. We'll give them back to you for a couple hours a day. And that's not what parents want. And that's not what parents are putting up with.
I love that. When you said, unless you're working out productive, you know what's so interesting to me? If we go out into the workforce and we make a huge company, the statistics say right now that that company will probably, even if it's in the S&P 500, which are the biggest companies in the world, right? If it's in the S&P 500, most of those don't make it past year 18. And if you have a startup, you might not even make past year one or two. I mean, if you're lucky. And so we think we're going out and doing all this good, but the truth is, even if we hit a home run in a decade or two, what we did at work will have died. Most likely,
right.
The company will be bought, sold, bankrupted, disrupted, something.
Right.
But the work we said, as you said, in our own homes,
right,
lasts for a long time. I mean, the decisions that your great grandmother, your great grandfather made are still affecting you today. They're affecting my great grandparents, are affecting me. I mean, I live in America. Why? Because somebody from made a family decision hundreds of years ago to come here, and that's affecting the language I'm speaking. It affects my educational, economic opportunities, my everything. And so their decisions made in their home hundreds of years ago are still lasting way more than whether or not they had a cool horse or a cool plow or a few extra square feet in the cabin or whatever it was. Right.
Yeah. I mean, 85% of the moms want to come home. That's what we're hearing. But in this next generation, I mean, it's all coming kind of full circle. You know, it was different. It was like everybody had to be out. You had to put your kids in daycare starting at 6 a.m., pick them up at 6 p.m. Well, we know that that's a broken system. And again, some moms are single moms. I'm not speaking for every home. I'm just saying in general, the home is a place that we all need to be. And we all need to contribute. We all got to figure out how to pay our bills. But moms are coming home and they're trying to figure out how to afford it. And I think, you know, the new administration is going to do some incredible tax cuts that are going to make life a little bit easier for all of us, especially the child tax credit and different things. The home is got to be the focus. It's where everything has to be. All your decisions have to be based on your home, in your marriage, in your kids, from your education to the food that you feed them. I mean, look at what we're discovering now with, you know, Secretary Kennedy, which we all knew was happening, but somebody at least is speaking about it. All these things matter because they all happen in our home. We decide what our children eat, what they read, what they watch, what they wear, what school they go to, what we do as far as prayers, what church we go to. And it all begins at home.
Everything. It reminds me so much of what I heard. I think it was a Mother Teresa quote or something. She said, if you really want to change the world, go home and love your family. And
yeah.
Maybe misquoting it, but something along those. You want to change the world, you don't need to run out there. Go home and love your family, right?
Right. We hear this, right? I think this is a fundamental truth. I think everyone knows. And that's why it's sad that there's been such an attack on the family. You know, here at Moms for America, we're fighting against a lot of liberal, crazy agendas. Like you said, trying to take away our parental rights, trying to redefine women or erase women or put men and women sports and spaces. I mean, it's crazy. And social media is dividing parents and they're, you know, doing gender ideology. Basically courses in schools without parents. Everything is a parental issue. And as soon as you take the parents out of the mix, the ones who love their children more than anyone, know their children better than anyone, boy, you got problems coming. And how dare they? How dare they do that?
That's exactly right. So for anyone wanting to join your move, like how can someone get involved with this? If they say, you know what, this resonates with me. I've been feeling this kind of insidious destruction of the family that's coming to my area or my neighborhood or whatever. How can they join the movement that you're helping with moms here? How can they do that?
Yes, thank you. And it is, when you say it's coming to your area, it's in your area. This is in your schools. This is in your library. This is happening all across the country. every corner of the world, even if you think that you're in a conservative area. If you're homeschooling, you're in a good spot. But what do you do about the phones? What do you do about social media? What do you do about AI? Just was on a call the other day with the White House, and just looking at AI, what is that going to look like? There's all these challenges coming into the culture continually, things we would never even think of. So at Moms for America, we say we're the ultimate support group for conservative moms. If you care about God, country, family, we're your girls. And we have everything that you could possibly need to help raise your children and support you on your journey through motherhood. All issues are mom issues. So we have webinars, seminars, we have programs, we have podcasts. We have a division that helps moms go to their school boards, maybe run for school board, get involved in the civic engagement, public policy. All things affect us. There are consequences to everything, roll-offs to every decisions that are made in every piece of legislation in Washington or in your city or in your county. So we talk about it all. We have really great brochures that provide great information on SEL, social-emotional learning, critical race, border security, how to protect our children from any type of sex trafficking or predators. We have all of these booklets and information to help you moms. And so we're here. We're here to help. And there is no cost to anything. You go to momsforamerica.us, basically sign up for our newsletter, which is a weekly blog that is always timely and current, along with a podcast clip, our podcast, which I do host. And that ranges from conservative rock star leaders like President Trump and Tucker Carlson, I've had a chance to interview, all the way to moms that are writing a book about motherhood or social media or fentanyl, anything. All those things we cover in the Moms America podcast. And you just go there, you sign up for our newsletter, join the movement, and you can take a ride around our Facebook, our website, and see all the things that we offer. We have some different pages that you can apply and fill out, and then our team members will contact you and we'll help you. We'll get you connected with folks in your area. We do a lot of online teaching and through today's technology, and we're just here to serve.
I love that. I love that. What a great movement to be involved with. You know, there's a mountain of evidence, amount of studies, if you look at them from different angles, that show that when parents act like they're the CEOs of their children's education. Now, that kids do so much better. So when I say a CEO, as a CEO, you can decide to hire, you can decide to fire. Right. So in other words, if your child is going to a school or is involved in a classroom that does not match up with what you as the CEO, right, the parent, want to see happen, you have every right to fire that school. You have every, yep, right to hire another school. Now, as a CEO, you might decide to outsource part of that education to a public school, or to a home, you might decide to do some of it in-house and homeschool, or half and half. I know families who've done a, sure, little bit of public school and a little bit of homeschool because they didn't feel good about one teacher or another. You may decide to private school or, right, a combination, or get a tutor or something like that. But the truth is, we need to have that attitude of, mm-hmm, we as dads, as moms, we're the CEOs, and we decide how our children are going to be educated. And I think there's been a feeling, just, you know, if you look at all of history, that's how it's been. His parents are in charge. During the last, you know, several decades, or even, you know, last 100 years or so, people have started to go into public schools and they think, oh, now the government can decide these things. We really need to be vigilant against that line of thinking that the government's, right, going to raise our children. The government, right, is simply one supplier, mm-hmm, that we may or may not hire and that we can fire,
very true,
anytime we want.
Mm-hmm.
Thoughts on that?
Totally agree. I mean, you know, you just made the, you know, talking a little bit about in the context of education, but our youngest son, my first two, I've got a 27, 25, and a 20 now. And our first two kids, you know, there wasn't all of this agenda in the school. It was very different. And then there was a fundamental change where you could see everything leading up to COVID and after COVID. So we put our youngest son, we took him out of public education, a school that we had really, really liked Money Levels, but they started doing surveys then the children's sexuality, and they were masking the kids, and you could see that there was going to be a lot of agendas all of a sudden coming into the schools. They had been revving up for it, clearly, but now they were just blatant and so out in the open and so bold. So we put our son in private education for the last 2 years of his high school, and it was the best thing that we had really done for him, and he's forever grateful, because we have to make these decisions. They spend, you know, 6 hours a day in school, so you have to be extremely comfortable with the education that you're providing for your kids. And whether you take them home or you get together, a lot of parents, right, they do this pod now where they'll rent out a facility, or a church will give them a classroom, and they put, you know, a retired teacher in there, and everyone kind of almost homeschools according to their class schedule, whatever that may be. And, you know, you have 10 kids together, and they can get out, and they can be in the homeschool, the co-ops, and there's so many more online. I mean, there's so many more options available for education than we have ever seen. And we have to do this, right? And I know that you agree with this. Well, we have to have a parallel society. We used to have one society. Everybody had a fall in line here. Well, we're not anymore. We have a parallel society with education. We have a parallel society with our businesses. We have a parallel society with just about everything now, and from business to education, because even sports, we can't just, you know, you can't do the mainstream sports hardly anymore because they're not safe and they're not fair. So there's so many people that are deciding to have a parallel society that is trustworthy and respectable and honoring to the family, to the children, into America.
That's exactly right. I appreciate you saying that. And to have this idea of creativity, like you said, like maybe we form a homeschool co-op where we have a bunch of people who are in our neighborhood, who are on the same page or in our area, hire a retired teacher, hire somebody who can,
time. Yeah.
So many ways to be creative. And I know there's some parents who are a little bit nervous to homeschool. Like, can I really do this? Can I really do this? And, you know, one of the things that I read, they did a study on intelligence, and they found that the number of turns in a conversation is correlated with intelligence. Let me tell you what I mean. So when I ask you a question and you respond, that's one turn in the conversation. And then if I respond again, that's another turn. So there's two or three turns there. In a school classroom, a lot of times there's a teacher who may or may not care, and they're just talking, and some of the kids are checked out, and there's almost no turns in the conversation. In a homeschooling environment, if your child comes to you and says, hey, I don't understand this history question or this math problem, you say, well, what do you not understand? That's one turn. They say, well, this is what I don't understand. That's another turn. And so to be able to have those conversations with them, sometimes you can have as much many turns in a conversation in an hour or two as kids get in 2 or 3 days at school. And you're actually helping build those neural pathways quickly. Right. So for those who are afraid to homeschool, that may be something you could look at. I really love the idea of being creative and saying, we can do it differently. We can have a different system, as you said, a parallel system.
Yeah. And I would like to mention too, every month we have an online support group called Homeschool Mom to Mom. So we help teach and train and support. So it's kind of like an online support group for moms that are homeschooling. And, you know, like right now they're covering, you know, what do you do during the summer during homeschool? What do you do during the holidays? Some of the topics, they'll have historical resources, and they just bring a lot of support. The gal that does it, it's at homeschool for a long time, and all those moms kind of gather up. And again, that's Homeschool Mom to Mom, and that's every month for Moms America. So.
I love it. Such a noble movement. So if we as parents could take on this this idea that we're the CEOs and be creative, and then join with like-minded people like your organization, Debbie, who's got moms across the entire country who are fighting to say, you know what, the government's gone too far. We'll raise our children. Thank you.
Yeah. I just keep thinking, how dare they, you know, how dare they think that they have that right? And some parents haven't really had a chance to understand the devastation of it, unfortunately, until it happens to their kids. So that's why we just keep warning everyone, you know, we just have to be super engaged. There's never a day off. There's never a second off as a mom. We all know that, and a dad. And God will give you the strength that you need to push through, but you do need help. You do need organizations. Dads need your organization. Moms need our organization. We need the church. We need each other. We, you know, if you can find another mom that's gone through and figured it out, that's so helpful. We know that. So we're here to help support, and we just have so much resources available for our moms. And there's, it's sometimes it can be extremely exhausting and very heavy, you know? So we're here to help, because it's the best thing ever is mama, being a mama, but mama needs help.
I love it. And I also, Debbie, I also really appreciate what you said about being vigilant. You know, I live in a fairly conservative area. But I took, you know, my wife took our children down to the local library, and there were books there that would blow your mind that you thought, wow, why are these books in our library? Even though you'd think you couldn't do it. Even though you would probably think they wouldn't be found in an area that's as conservative as where I live. And so you're right. We do have to be vigilant, you know, even devices. I mean, what kind of controls do we have on our children's devices? Letting it, you know.
Yeah.
What can we do to do that? What are your thoughts on that?
I know, and I've done a lot on this topic, you can imagine, with the podcast. Well, there's one thing I kind of just want to say at the forefront is that now moms, and if you're a grandma that's listening or a dad or whatever that is, or a mom that has, if you have older children, you know, 20 plus, that's one world. They've gotten through to it, and you have to keep encouraging and checking and helping them manage for sure. I did no social media. Now my older two, it was a different world then. I mean, phones weren't so, you know, everything changed record speed in years, but my youngest, I did no social media at all till they were 18. We made sure that the phone was up. We made sure we had all the parental controls on it. We ran a really tight ship with it. And at 18, he said, "Hey, listen, can I just have some piece of the world out here?" And so, and again, to his credit, he was very, willing to obey his parents. And what we would say to them always is, "We love you more than anyone. And we know that this now technology has changed since your brothers and your sisters, and we've got to deal with it every day, right? Every month it's different." But so that's one thing you have to really, really understand, such tight. And I always tell parents, go super tight, super tough, because you can always pull back, but you can never go, you can't reverse. Super tough on that. Very limited. Keep your kids extremely busy. Make it so the phone is not your life source. It is a compliment. You can always buy a phone that is just the house phone. That's another great idea that people are doing now. They're buying a cell phone, and let's just say they have three kids. Well, this phone is the house phone. All of you can use it, but it's our phone, and it's full transparency. That's another great idea.
That's right.
And then the other thing is, if you're
and it can
having,
even be a flip phone or a light phone or a gap phone, something that doesn't have access to the entire World Wide Web at all times.
Yeah, very limited. It's the house phone. It's not your phone. You can use it. And then you've got all those, you know, you've got Bark, you've got all those different things on your phone, and making sure that that technology is, you know, if everybody knows that everybody can see it and everybody uses it, it's different mentality, different approach to it. Then the other thing I like to just say is, I had a gal on that talks about social media, and basically what has to happen now is, if you have a baby, right, at 3-4 months, you have to decide, what does their world look like with technology? Can you imagine this? Like, we used to have coloring books, and we still have coloring books, and you'd bring all the little action guys and all that stuff, right? That's all we did. But now you have to realize that technology has come in. People are letting their kids at 3 months old go on their phone to watch whatever. And then at 6 months, they give them an iPad. So they start creating a dependency on this. And what this gal said, which is really true, is that now you have to decide at 3 months old what you're going to do with technology. Think about that. Because if you raise your child on it, it is a complete addiction. It's a complete addiction.
That's right.
It's made to be an addiction. That's why we all have them. That's why we can't be without them. That's why. But a baby, a 2, a 5, a 6, a 10-year-old, they can be without them. And they should be without them. So you have to decide right on the forefront. And then what do you do with it? Is it a reward or a punishment? Right? Because that's what happens, right? As soon as the phones hit everybody, you're getting your phone taken away. You're down on this. You can't do game time. It becomes punishment. That could be, or it becomes a reward. Right. Hey, if you do your homework, you get game time, or you get to use your phone. And all of a sudden, it becomes this really big elephant in the house, technology. So what she said, and I'll share that with you, she did no phones, no technology. They can watch TV. They can play some games in the front room, but it's just such an afterthought instead of the driving force. And if you raise them on technology at 3 months, I saw a mom the other day, that baby could have been 4 or 5 months, barely sitting up with a phone, just watching a cartoon. But we don't need that. We do not need that.
It's so not good for your kids. And what we need to realize too, if you look at most of these social media companies, you look at a lot of these tech companies, they don't really, like, if you think about it, a major technology company, I'll spare saying anyone in particular, but most of them don't manufacture anything. They don't produce anything. What they really are selling is your attention. And they have scientists that are in there working overtime to try to figure out how to get you, as you said, addicted to their product. Because what they do is the more hours you spend on a social media site or on an online site, the more they can go back to advertisers and say, hey, look at how many addicted users we have.
Right.
You want to sell ads to them. And so when you give your child a phone, what you're really doing is playing into the social media's game of, like, let's get them addicted young. So for the next 80 years, we can sell ads to them and addict them. That's the current thinking. Now that could obviously change. So what I'm saying is if we can see how kind of insidious that is, that, like, really, the more I click on a site, the more I scroll, the more I do this, that's all being measured. Nate, there's lots of surveillance on the back end to see how many hours people are spending. And the reason is they want to sell advertising.
Right.
And they
want to sell their agenda eventually.
And the agenda, which is even, the agenda, the advert, which are sometimes the advertisers are mixed in with that agenda, but you're right. Absolutely. Like the agenda, the advertising, the algorithms they make. And so do we want to get our kids addicted at 3 months? I mean, that's such a good question to ask. Right?
It is. And, you know, I don't have a baby now, so I wouldn't even, you know, I mean, I know what my stance would be, but it's like now the culture, these new moms have to decide, are you going to raise your child on a phone and create that addiction where they have tantrums, where they depend on it, where their eyes glaze over, where they lose creativity? Here's the thing too, you know, we say to moms, listen, let your kids be bored. No kids are bored anymore. Out of boredom becomes creativity.
That's
so good to be bored. And I'm trying to challenge myself to be bored and quiet. You know, because that's when I get a chance to think. I used to do so much more writing, but it's like the phone and all the technology takes over. There's not a chance to write. There's not a chance to be creative. You know, I saw we had this big thing delivered to our house, and it was in this big box. And I was like, oh my gosh, I wish our kids were young. I'd say, here's a bunch of paint. Go in this big box outside and create a house for you. And you know, those are the things we would do always, not phones. And we've lost all that creativity. And that's really a big, big problem. I mean, what are they going to do when they get older and they are relying on AI to write everything, or, you know, technology to determine their happiness? And so, you know, we all know social media, you know, the back end of that is horrible. It's good and bad always. But boy, if your child is fragile, and every mom that I'm talking to, if I say your child's fragile, you know what that means, whether they're on the spectrum, whether they're, you know, just so kind-hearted they can get picked on, whether they're easily succumbed to peer pressure, whatever, if they're fragile, boy, social media will just take them and own them. And they'll go behind their back with all the DMs, and they'll go behind their back with the websites to go to. And they're all of a sudden, you know, they're becoming bullied. And then all of a sudden it's all about their gender. That's all we see across the country. And boy, it's just, You know, we just got to gird up. I mean, we got to have on that armor and we got to defend.
Absolutely. You know, and as you know, I'm involved in it. We're starting a movement for fathers
Yes,
nationwide. We're,
congratulations.
and one of the things, thank you. One of the things we need dads and moms both to know is, you know, a dad's job on the media, so often dads are portrayed as kind of this unnecessary Homer
Right.
Simpson kind of beer drinking, not
Right.
really needed dad. And
Dum
the truth
dum,
is, we
dum
need,
dums.
dumb dad. We need good, strong, masculine, good
Yes.
men to lead our families to say, you know what, the buck stops with me. I'm going to lead my family in gentleness and kindness, but I'm going to be a leader. I'm going to provide for my family. I'm going to protect my family. And that's what men, you know, that's what we're divinely, that's our role as men is to lead and provide and protect our families. Tell me what your thoughts is being a leader of a mom's organization. Tell me your thoughts on that.
Well, 100%. We say this all across the country. We're the moms group that loves men. I mean, we, you know, there's been this movement in all these women's groups just to, you know, embarrass or, you know, talk about, you know, masculinity being bad. And we need our dads. We love our dads. We love our men. We love our sons, our uncles, our grandpas. We know how important the family structure is. We know how important it is for dads to be in the home. I don't know how I could do it without my husband. I mean, there's a different role, right? For moms as the nurturers and the teachers and the homemaker. And then there's the dad as the providers and the protectors. And those roles were divinely made by God, and that's why they work so well together, and that's why children do better in a home with a mom and a dad. So we celebrate fatherhood. In fact, this week right now on the Moms for America, I have three young men talking about masculinity and how hard it is to be a man in today's culture. Because we have demasculinized them in so many ways. And we have, you know, just really taken the role of fatherhood and manhood and just made it almost a joke. So we are for that. In fact, here's another funny story. When I was interviewing Tucker Carlson, we were talking about the moms at the school boards, moms, 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 moms. And then he looked at me and he goes, "Listen, where are the dads? Where are the dads, Deb? I mean,
We're
come
coming.
on. We need," and then he goes like this. He goes, "We need big, strong men to stand up with all of their might and protect their kids. Where are the men?" And
Exactly
it's
right.
true. The women have taken the lead, because I guess the mamas just tend to get more involved. But then we've got to come back and say, "Dads, we need you at that school board. We need you to say that there's not going to be men in our girls' locker rooms.
Exactly
We
right.
need you." And we are seeing the men much more involved. I think this is what we say too. If we teach and train the moms and we encourage and empower the moms, they come home and get the dads going. That's just how we do it. I'm sure your wife does
That's
the same thing,
right.
right?
That's right.
And
And I
that's nothing wrong with that, you know, because we're in tune. And then we bring it home and we say to the dads, "Dad, I need you to do this." And then the dads go, "Okay, I'm on it."
That's right. And as dads, we need to realize that people's just because we're in the room, just because we're involved, everyone around us should be a safer place. You know, there was a video of a guy. There was, and in fact, I read about it in a book where there was this guy who let he was on a video game. He was being and his kid had climbed out on top of this thing. He was outside like a 3 or 4, maybe 5-story building. I don't remember how tall. His kid was about to fall. Okay. And there was another gentleman there who just scaled as fast as he could and rescued this kid from falling. So you had an example of two dads. You had one dad who was neglecting the kid. You had another guy who said, "I'm going to go up and rescue this kid." And I think all of us dads need to be the guy who says, "You know what? There's somebody in trouble there. We're gonna protect him." We have a natural role, and that's what
Amen.
masculinity does. Masculinity gives men that ability to say, "We're going to make this happen. We're going to make it now. We're going to be decisive. We're going to protect those who are less strong than us." And we need men like that right now in our society to step up and
Amen.
say, "You know, we see stuff happening. Let's stop it now." And work in conjunction with wonderful women and wonderful women and organizations like yourself so we can protect and provide nurture, which frankly, women are better at nurturing than men many times. Men are oftentimes better at protecting. And making some, you know, doing some other th providing and doing some things in some situations, and we need men to step up and say, "What we're going to be men. We're going
They
to
sure
protect
do.
those who are less strong. We're going to protect the weak. We're going to protect our children. We're going to protect our wives, and we're going to stand up. And so I'm glad we're both on a similar mission here.
We are. And you know, just to your point about the men, there is something about strength. It's women are strong, but men bring the next level of strength. And when you feel protected and you feel safe, your kids, your wife, there's nothing more settling in the home than knowing that there is strength in your home and that dad's there and that he will make sure that everything is okay. And that moms just worry, you know, and fix and do and, you know, get all that. But then, you know, there's just something to that strength that's very, very, very comforting in the home. So thanks to the dads.
Yeah, and isn't it marvelous that it really is to have a mom who's great at nurturing and can feel and sense better than most men, and men who can say, I'm going to provide and lead and protect my family. And it
Amen.
Makes a great, in fact, all the studies and all,
Right.
even intuition just says when you have a mom and a dad in the home, the children do so much better. In fact, last question for you here. One of the things that people don't realize, they say, hey, we should put the children first, put the children first. But they've actually found that when moms and dads put their relationship where they say, I'm going to show my kids through my example that I'm going to treat mom right, or I'm going to treat dad right, and we're going to date, we're going to go out and we're going to have a good time, it actually really, really helps the kids. And you're helping build their marriages in the future by modeling for them. This is how you have a healthy relationship. So people all say, well, we should put the kids first, put the kids first. And I would say, actually, when you really work on your marriage and you have a strong marriage, and you have a dad who's willing to lead and provide and protect, you have a mom who's willing to nurture, and you're working together, the kids see that, and the outcomes are fabulous when that happens. Thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You, as mom and dad, you're raising a husband or a wife, right, when they watch you. And it is all about mom and dad together. It's what everything has budded out of. That's that divine marriage together. And along with, like you're saying, just, you know, having your marriage stable and working through all those things. I've been married, you know, over 30 years, and it's, you know, everybody has to work through things, you know, you can't
Absolutely.
abort, you know, you're in it, to win it. And, that's what we all have to do. We have to make it a priority. And I also say to everybody, you as a family really need to be in church. You have to work on your foundations. You have to work on your foundation of your marriage. And you have to work on the foundation of your home and make it shore it up, make it as strong as possible, because then your kids will take the example that you have shown, and they'll do that in their home. And I always say to the kids, take all the good stuff we did, you know, anything that we need to do quite right. Just don't,
Hopefully.
Just ignore that.
Give us some grace on the bad stuff.
Give us all the, you know, just take only the good stuff, you know? But that's it. I mean, we, you know, we got to do it we got to love our husbands, love our wives. We got to serve one another and, you know, make that a priority. And then everything else flows out of that 100%.
Absolutely. Debbie, it's been great having you on today.
Thank you.
People get a hold of you if they want to join Moms for America, if they want to join movement or just get more information, what's the best way to reach out to you?
Thank you. Well, I hope that it's been an encouraging discussion, because moms, just as the closing thought, you are the greatest influence in your lives. I know that you'll say that the dads are, and they sure are the
well,
greatest.
Actually, no, I got to clarify here. I go, my wife is lucky enough that she gets to stay home. She has the most important job.
Yeah.
And I, as a dad, have kind of the auxiliary job. What I mean by that is I want to provide so that my wife, who's better at nurturing, frankly, can do the most important job. So I would actually back up that moms have a huge effect. And I'm in a position to say that, David. Just one sec. My mom died when I was 8 years old.
Oh.
And I know little things that she did that still profoundly affect me today.
Isn't
decades
that incredible?
Later. They're affecting my kids and grandkids. So when you say moms have a super important role, of course dads do too. They're just different.
It's exactly. And I always, when I'm talking to you, I don't want to downplay the dads, but we say moms have the greatest influence in their children's lives because they are at home nurturing, cultivating, praying, and they make all of the important decisions usually in the home, from what they eat, for the kids that they go to the books. And again, dad comes in, he comes in as the protector and provider. So it's a great compliment. So to you moms, I just want you to know how important your role is. And when you feel like the day, you know, maybe got away from you and it's been a challenge, just know that those little hearts, those little humans that you're raising, there's nothing like that. And the legacy that you will leave and the future that you're going to have for them, that you'll work out for them, it's just the greatest thing that God could ever do. And when you get to heaven's gates and the Lord says, well done, my good and faithful servant, you can say, I did my very best raising these little ones that you gave us, Lord. So to the moms, thank you for every day serving and giving and raising and changing the world with those little world makers that you're raising. So at Moms for America, you can check us out at momsforamerica.us. That's simple. Come by, check us out, send us an email, sign up for the newsletter, and be a part of our movement. We would love to have you.
Awesome. Debbie, thank you so much for being on the show. For any moms listening, please feel free to reach out to Debbie. We'll put those links in the show notes for those of you who are driving. Also, dads who are listening, good dads realize that their job is to make it possible for moms to do their job and protect and provide and make them feel secure, awesome, as they're saying. So thank you for listening today. And Debbie, thank you for being a guest on the show today.
All right. Thank you. God bless.
Thank you.